serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, and a little different twist today, but one that personally has been really refreshing for me. Hearing a 31-year-old professional photographer talking about how his interactions with World War II veterans have changed his life and changed his perspective, it's encouraging. We're going to hear more from Zach Coco of Pictures for Heroes in a moment, and I hope you will go over to picturesforheroes.org if you haven't already. If you're a regular listener to Hometown Heroes, you'll recognize some of those faces, like Harpo Salaya, who survived the sinking of the USS Indianapolis, like the incredible Robert Thacker, who was flying into Pearl Harbor on the morning of December 7th, 1941, and survived to become a record-breaking aviator. Zach's photo of him is one of my all-time favorites. You'll see P-38 pilot Don Stoutenborough and the one and only Bob Izumi, a Japanese-American veteran who found his way out of the famed 442nd Regimental Combat Team and into the 101st Airborne during World War II. And you'll see an amazing photo with a red-tailed P-51 Mustang in the background, and in the foreground, the inimitable smile of Lieutenant Colonel Robert Friend, one of the last surviving members of the 332nd Fighter Group, a segregated group of African-American pilots and support crews who had trained in Tuskegee, Alabama, and thus became known as the Tuskegee Airmen. Bob Friend has been an incredible ambassador for the Tuskegee Airmen, and at the start of his long, decorated career in aviation, he flew 142 World War II missions in P-51s.
They didn't concentrate on us nearly as much as they did on trying to get the bombers down, so it was fairly easy as a rule to chase them off. Don't get me wrong, they would get through sometime because they'd get above and start a dive and just dive straight through. It's almost like suicide. You're going to get caught and picked up after, if not before he gets there. But they too had an objective, and that was protect their homeland.
And they had a variety of different planes. At the end of the war, they had planes that were faster and superior to even the one you were flying. Did you ever engage any of those ME-262s?
Yes, I met a 262, and strangely, I met him head-on. And I didn't realize we were going head-on. I thought first that I was overtaking him. The silhouette looked the same. But then when I saw the guns firing, I knew that we were coming toward each other. And we went right past. When I turned around, he was gone.
That's one of those you don't even figure out what it was till it's gone, huh?
Well, dogfights are funny. It can be going on, you know, rather heavily, and then all of a sudden there's nothing. Everybody's gone. Some people took off for home, others, and it was important for us not to go chasing after them, because if you did, you left the bombers open to secondary attacks.
I thought that was a dynamic that was well depicted in the George Lucas film, Red Tails, that aspect of, hey, you got to stick to the plan, not be going for the glory and chasing down a fighter. Was that ever a temptation of yours to go after one of those German planes?
Well, you know, it's like once you get locked on to him, you know, you don't want to let go. But we had some well-grounded discipline, and that was don't be drawn off.
Where did that come from?
The commander. Colonel Davis was a man that had a tough job. What he had to do was to take people who were relatively raw. All of us, how far much more experience could you say one had? You know, guy graduated in first class, guy graduated a month later in second class. And he, from these people, had to take people for, or identify people for key positions. Squadron commanders, group operations officers, squadron operations officers, maintenance officers, you know. And he had to get the right guy. Best of all, he recognized when he had made a mistake with a guy, and he made the change right away. He did not mess around.
That's leadership for you. With all those missions, I'm sure you had plenty of close calls. But is there one for you that when you think back on, you feel like, you know, God was really looking out for me on that one?
Yes, we had some of those. I had a barge explode, and I flew through all that debris, got through okay. And the ones that, not direct, but it happens. When on one mission, the fellow that was going to lead the mission said, "Who's flying Charlie today?" Charlie was the last position in the squadron.
Tail and Charlie.
So I said, "I'm flying Charlie." So he said, "Well, let's switch airplanes. Mine's a newer airplane, and Charlie has a lot more activity, you know, staying in formation and so forth. So you take that and I'll fly yours." He never came back. The airplane quit on him.
So that would have been you in the airplane that quit.
Yes. And other instances when attacking a ground target, you can see the rounds coming. And actually, you can do things about it. If it looks like it's going to hit you, you're okay because it goes like this. But if it looks like it's going by in front, be careful. You better change something, change speed, change direction, change something, because it was pretty much hanging on to you then. That airplane, the P-51, absolutely so far ahead of its time, it really can be said that it swung the war. It swung the things in our direction without question. And as far as the pilots feel, I didn't feel like I climbed into an airplane. I felt like I put it on. I wore it.
Why do you think it's important to tell the story of the Tuskegee Airmen? What's the value of that for us today in knowing what you guys did and what you went through?
Well, I think the most important aspects of it is not to let it happen again. The reason we don't need it again. I know that the country itself has just absorbed so much in the way of the business and race relations. I feel that we should not even bother with considerations about race. I'm not saying that people should be not like their heritage. I like mine. I'm proud of my heritage. You know? But I don't think that it should be something that we say African-American, Indian-American, Mexican-American, Latin-American, German-American, Canadian-American. Who needs that? You're an American or not, you're not.
What an American he is. Tuskegee Airman Bob Friend, still going strong at age 98. You've got to see Zach Coco's photo of him at picturesforheroes.org or pull it up at hometownheroesradio.com. And let's get some final thoughts from Zach about Pictures for Heroes and find out how the rest of us can support his efforts.
What are some of the surprising things that you've seen unfold? Maybe the way people reacted to something or exposure that your project has gotten, or just some unexpected things that you couldn't have possibly foreseen when you started out with that first interview.
I think the one thing that has kind of reassured me that, you know, I'm doing something good for others is the gratitude that I've received from the families and even the veterans themselves. I conducted an interview and the gentleman just kept telling me, he said, "I can't believe this. I can't believe, you know, all this is happening." And it's hard for me to realize that because he deserves that appreciation. He deserves that respect and admiration. And it really touches me that somebody is that grateful just to have somebody come and spend a few hours with them. Yeah, I think they're the greatest generation, but they're also a forgotten generation at this point for the most part. You know, they're not out in public very much. They're generally secluded to their homes or place of residence. So yeah, if you can seek them out and just have a conversation with them, it'll make their day.
Well, and I'm thinking there are a lot of young photographers who can work really hard to try to get their photos in a certain exhibition or in a certain publication. And I don't know how much of that has happened for you in your career outside of this. But I mean, did you expect to have your work in People magazine when you started doing this?
No, not at all.
I know that wasn't your aim, but isn't that kind of a cool added bonus?
It definitely is, and you know, not to benefit myself at all, but I think it's great that they're covering a topic that can sort of connect with younger people with the World War II generation, and I think it's great. And yeah, definitely wasn't anticipating it, but love that they grasped the concept and sort of ran with it.
And if you were trying to get photos published in that, I mean, you could try 100 times and submit 100 photos, and you never know if it's going to happen. But when you're doing something for others and that just kind of happens as a result of it, that probably makes it a lot more satisfying.
It definitely does. And you know, initially when I sought this project out, it wasn't it was never the idea of doing something for me. It was always the idea of doing something for others. And it makes more of a difference in your life than you could imagine. You know, I think we all struggle sometimes with finding a direction, career, life, and we feel lost at times. And I always suggest to my friends and people I'm close with, just do something for somebody else. You put a small smile on their face, you change their day, and it'll come back to you. But if you do that repeatedly, it'll change your life. It definitely will.
So if someone's hearing this and they say, hey, my dad or my grandpa has got a killer story and I want you to come photograph him before he's gone, or maybe they want to help you with what you're doing and help make it possible to keep going, how can they get involved? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can visit our website, which is www.picturesforheroes.org. We're also on Facebook under that same name and on Instagram as well. So yeah, if anybody has a World War II veteran that they'd like to have interviewed, we're always looking for more. So please reach out. You can also email us at info@picturesforheroes.org.
And you mentioned that once you have 100, that book's going to be completed, and you hope that's about a year from now in 2019. But what about after that? How long are you going to keep doing this?
I intend to keep interviewing World War II veterans until the last one is gone. The book is just sort of a vehicle to share the information, but my main priority is getting the content. So if I have to put the book off in order to get more interviews done, then I will do so. But yeah, I intend to do this as long as I can.
When that book comes out next year with all these sharp, high-resolution photos of guys in their 90s reliving their teens and 20s and this crazy time in the world, if your grandpa were flipping through the pages, what do you think he'd think?
Well, I would hope he would be proud.
Anything else you want to say about him?
Just that he was a great man. He always told me, you gotta laugh. And I carry that with me every day, try to make other people laugh, try to keep a smile on my face. So, yeah, I miss him.
And I know so many of us listening to those words are thinking about the veterans we find ourselves missing. I'm going to go ahead and imagine my World War II veteran grandpa throwing a wink and a smile in the direction of Zach's grandpa. And I hope you were touched by what we heard today. Maybe you were even inspired or motivated to take action on an idea that's been stirring inside of you for a while. You definitely won't regret taking a few minutes to explore those photos at picturesforheroes.org. If you're on social media, follow Zach's efforts there too so you can see each new veteran he photographs as those important meetings take place. That's all the time we have on Hometown Heroes today. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.